89, and it's more focused on the site plan review.
Right.
Than it is necessarily on the use. But in any wellhead protection area where there is less than 35% impervious cover, there's no requirement at all. But when you exceed 35% and you're up to potentially 60% impervious cover, there's a requirement that an environmental assessment is submitted that has the appropriate level of detail about how that's to be managed. So it doesn't absolutely prohibit the ability to develop within that 35%-60% range, but it does require supporting technical analysis. That's primarily looked at as part of any site plan review as to where physically buildings and structures are located.
Okay. And the existence or location of the stormwater pond, are there instances that you're aware of where there that has been a problem for a municipal water system? I mean, is it, I mean, I know a lot of times we're concerned that something might be a problem. Well, one of the best indicators of that is, has it been a problem somewhere else? Has it been a problem before? I mean, is this something, and I'm asking you, and I'll also ask the engineers in the room too, somebody might know, if, you know, and is it contamination from contaminants that you think might be leaching into the ground from the stormwater pond? Is that the issue?
Yeah, well, and so if you just do a search, you'll find, you know, this was a major issue with dry cleaning operations with trichloroethylene in the ground and contaminating wells.
I'm laughing because my family was in the dry cleaning business for 70 years. I know all about perchloroethylene, actually, with the chemical.
Yeah, actually, it's manufacturing operations that use trichloroethylene for cleaning. So yes, there are actually numerous cases of that. Just recently, you're seeing the issue about PFAS.
I understand that, but I'm not, I mean, and is your concern, is it somehow those chemicals are going to find their way into the stormwater runoff and be collected in this pond and then
No, you were asking for examples. I was giving you examples.
Okay.
No.
I mean, I know that.
We're not going to have perchloroethylene, trichloroethylene.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I get
However, there are issues with the contaminants on roadways from hydraulic fluid, gasoline dripping, other things dripping from cars,
Right.
which then get, you know, the first rains flush off and wind up in stormwater ponds.
Right. And you mentioned about fertilizers from the lawns and so on. Isn't all that area being tilled now or was recently being tilled and fertilized like nobody's business already? I mean, farming.
Yes, and that's a valid point, except, you know, one thing is that farmers tend to, well, first of all, they tend to apply fertilizer as required to meet the soil requirements.
Well, sure.
I mean, they don't want to buy more.
They're not going to put any more than they need to. I don't blame them. They got to
Absolutely.
pay for it, sure.
And that's very different than a homeowner who is going to apply, you know, twice a year. Scotts is out there telling you, apply fertilizer.
Yeah.
And so you're talking about, you know, a business operation, and there are farm practices for that versus residential. And I can tell you in areas like the Chesapeake, Coral Gables, Florida, they are controlling the amount of fertilizer that can be used, even on a residential basis, and herbicide.
Which I think we can do too, don't we? Can't we do that through site plan? Yeah. Yeah, we're doing that ourselves.
So that is something to consider, you know, for
Yeah.
all this area back here.
Sure. Okay. Anyone else have any other questions or comments? Okay, anything else you'd like to add?
No. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. It was enlightening. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Okay, operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to subdivision 2022-01, conditional or change of zone number 1967, change of zone number 1968, conditional use number 23,000, 34, Henlopen Properties LLC.
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. Okay, we have Jay Tomlinson on the phone. Jay, your line is open. Please state your name and address before making your comment.
Okay, yes. Hey, my name is Jay Tomlinson, 227 5 BC Drive in Lowe. Dear commissioners and everyone on the long with this public hearing. This is pretty good to digest. Body material, excellent coverage from the beginning to the end of the information. Comments, I'm going to make just some comments. I have a couple questions. I'll try to make them quick. Even some of us, it's so difficult to see the example from the slide, which is a realization. I know you're aware of the business bill, not really having had a chance to look at person over there. Packets of what I'm calling volume is 600 pages per application. Just did public availability last Friday, and there hasn't been a lot of time to really be able to really digest everything that's there. First question is in the supplemental CIS letters, we get into the interim improvements for King's Highway and Gills Neck. In the original October package, there was a formula used for a milestone for when the developer developed 117,000 square feet of office space. I'm wondering if there's a similar beginning for construction for the interim improvements for this project, since the former CIS really outlined a different project. Just an observation when you talked to Mr. Hunt talked about comparables. From a zoning perspective, the comparable, most comparable buildings, which is my view, would be the medical center, the adjacent to the developer in AR1 zoning classification. The question is there retail on the first floor for the commercial buildings, like stores, oil farm, that being intent on the first floor?
I'm sorry, did you were you requesting that we leave the record open for something, sir?
We had a discussion.
Sorry if you just didn't hear that. Given the amount of data and the information, I thought I heard you previously talk about potentially leaving the record open. Maybe I misunderstood.
No, okay, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, the comment was made that there might be additional comments coming from the City of Lewis for us, and the typically our record would be closed, but of course the County Council public hearing, it would be certainly be open to be received for that meeting. We will make a decision at the end of the hearing when we refer back to it. We'll make a decision about whether or not to leave this record open at that time. If you don't have any further questions, I will ask the applicant to respond to the questions that you did ask, if you would like me to do that.
I absolutely would appreciate that, and I do thank you all for your time and efforts on this.
Well, indeed.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Mr. Lardner, I saw you taking notes. I hope you've jotted all that down.
I caught two questions. I don't know if there was a third one, but I definitely caught two questions. I had a little difficulty hearing them. So the first question was, is there a milestone for this set of interim improvements that was agreed upon? And yes, the milestone is immediately. Those interim improvements are required to be installed and accepted before the first certificate of occupancy is granted for the project.
Good to know.
Yep.
Good to
know.
The second question is about, is there going to be retail on the first floor? And the answer is no. This is going to be a professional office building, be it professional offices and or medical offices. There will be no retail.
So no convenience store, no, none of that. This is all straight professional office?
That is what we are, that's what, when the site plan is submitted, that is what will be proposed as a professional office building. Obviously, okay. Not getting in that, because we can't, but that.
Understood.
That is our intent. That is what the building rendering, everything shows. It's for professional offices only, medical, dental, and or professional.
Okay. And I think the, go ahead, Mr. Hutt.
I was just going to ask Mr. Lardner if he would, Mr. Tomlinson's question, I believe, is a byproduct of looking at the traffic impact study, which talks about a separation between some retail and some professional office space. So I think that's probably what the genesis of his question. If you could explain maybe why there is a reference to retail in the traffic impact study review letter, that might help to clarify that.
So in the original study, we had proposed 206,500 square feet of commercial. We had called it shopping center to be the highest generator. And that's where the 117,500 threshold came from, was that amount of traffic needed the interim improvements. This project actually generates less traffic than the 117,500 trips, which is why we have agreed to do those interim improvements immediately prior to the first CO. And that may be why you heard the reference between retail and office.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I remembered the question like that too, Mr. Hutt. Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Operator, is there anyone else standing by who would like to speak?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, no one else has indicated they would like to speak.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, any other questions or observations?
I have.
Do you have some?
I do have just one for probably Mr. Lorna. Is there a possibility of moving the stormwater management pond?
There is an opportunity. It would require a redesign of site and or potentially loss of units. We have done recharge in excellent recharge areas. We have done recharge in water protection areas. Could there have been an instance where something happened? I'm sure there could be. I'm not aware of any myself. Mr. Cahill may be aware of some. But as Mr. Perdetta pointed out, yes, there's been talk about impervious surfaces, porous pavement, or the like. Well, there are stormwater management practices within the wellhead protection area, so it's kind of like they're both the same, so they're just different practices. So as we have proffered, there will be pretreatment of this system. So should there be a leaking car or something like that, because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a leak. It's not going to be because someone's changing the oil or a gas station or those larger opportunities. That pretreatment will then be able to pretreat those pollutants of the like.
Thank you.
And you said that was more like a lack of a better example, like a septic tank where it hits there first and then sinks down and doesn't.
It'll go through whatever is a pretreatment system. Mr. K gave me an example. I didn't bring it with me, but it's a.
It actually has something that filters.
Yes, ma'am. Correct. Okay.
And does the water on the lot go this way naturally, or is it just going to be?
Well, Mr. K, correct if I'm wrong, but naturally the water actually the. King's Highway actually splits the divide. Water actually naturally goes away from the wellhead protection area. It just kind of gets pulled into it from the pumping of the wellheads. That's why it doesn't really come that far into these sites. And that was based on the report that Mr. Cahill put together, that this water actually naturally goes away from the wellheads.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Anyone? Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right, there being no further questions, we will close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.